take out the papers and the trash. Or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't serve that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yaggy yak!
I fought back.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that duck car with that broom.
I fought back. Ladies and gentlemen, that was my impression. This is my one chance to be an honorary coaster. We actually have two of the judges here. We don't have Randy and Paula and Simon, but we have Carl and Vita, who are as good as those are. And how did I do as an honorary coaster?
You did well.
Thank you. This is Carl Gardner, the legendary coaster, the man who came up with the name The Coasters, founding member of The Coasters, and sadly the only surviving member of The Coasters who was on the hits, including Yakety Yak and Charlie Brown. And along with Carl, I have his wife. Her name is Vita Gardner. Vita, welcome to the show as well.
Thank you very much, Ron. It's my pleasure.
The story of The Coasters is not a story that has all highs. There are some highs, and there are some lows. And they are described in a very honest book that Carl Gardner wrote with your help called Yakety Yak, I Fought Back, My Life with The Coasters. Wonderfully inspired title, by the way.
You like that title?
Yeah. Do Lieber and Stoller like the title?
Yeah, they didn't mind. I did tell them I was using it.
Okay. And they said, our lawyers will be in touch. No, they didn't. They said, they said, fine. It says on the back of the book, the story in this book is about a young man who left his home and family in Tyler, Texas, at the age of 23, and moved to Los Angeles to follow his dream of becoming a big band singer, or to be another Nat King Cole or Billy Eckstein. Like fate had it, instead, he became the lead singer and founder of the first vocal group to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987. That was the rubber stamp. Yes, right. Along with other members, Billy Guy, Will Jones, and Cornell Gunter, and he's performed over 5 decades internationally before many large audiences. Now, I have to read the rest of this here, and that is, today, due to poor health, Carl has retired from show business but still controls the group he formed in 1955. And I hope when you hear Carl's story, which Carl will tell briefly and Vita in probably a lot more words this evening, it will inspire some of you, because Carl is really the true definition of a survivor. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Carl, let me just say first, it is such a pleasure to have you on this show. It is such an honor to be talking with you tonight.
It is my pleasure to be with you, Ron.
I remember your group so well. I was growing up when you had those hits. I actually am old enough to remember Smokey Joe's Cafe. Before there were the Coasters, there were the Robins. And no, folks, the Robins are not the same group as the Coasters, even though, Vita, there is actually an organization. What is the organization that...
The Rhythm and Blues Foundation.
The Rhythm and Blues Foundation. Some of the people with the Rhythm and Blues Foundation want to believe that the Robins and the Coasters were pretty much the same group, but they were different groups, weren't they?
Completely different group altogether. Carl sang with the Robins for a couple of years.
Right.
And then Lieber and Stoller asked him to leave and form another group because they wanted to go in a different direction. And the Robins continued to record even after the Coasters were formed, because Carl was supposed to do one of their songs at the time called Cherry Lips, and Lieber and Stoller took him away from the group, and he left and started the group of the Coasters.
When it all began, Carl realized at an early age that he wanted to be a singer, but he didn't really want to be a rock and roll singer. Carl, you saw yourself mostly along the lines of Nat King Cole and a ballad singer, is that true?
Yes, I was raised in Texas, and I always did all the balance of Billy Eckstein and Nat Cole, and I just loved pop. I wanted to be a pop singer, but I didn't get that opportunity.
Well, gee, I can't have everything, but you
had a ball with the coaster.
The first experience where your singing was appreciated was with a teacher. Maybe Vita can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Mrs. Winters.
What can you tell us about Mrs. Winters, Vita?
Well,
Or Carl. Vita's voice did not change. This is Carl.
Well, I was in elementary school when I met her, and she heard me one day in the back singing to myself. And she said, "Who's that singing back there?" And all the kids pointed at me, and I said, "Oh, my God." And I was very young and shy. And she said, "Come up here, Carl. Sing some more for me." So I sang for her, and she said, "I'm going to play the piano for you, and I want you to sing for the kids here." She played piano. I sang for her, and she said, "Wow, what a voice." And that was pop, mostly. It wasn't no rock and roll then. That was way back in rhythm and blues days.
I'm trying to just pinpoint the time frame here. Are we talking the early 50s here, or was it the...
Well, he was in public school at the time. He was a young kid. But apparently he had a good voice from he was small. Actually, he started singing when he was about 5. He could sing those type of songs because he listened to them and he imitated them over the years. Miss Winter took him under her wing, you know.
Right.
Taught him timing and so forth.
That was one of my favorite singers. He was better than most of them that I knew.
Right.
He liked the ink spots.
And the ink spots were number one. I started imitating. I didn't care. His name was Bill Kenny. He was singing his head off. And I just loved the ink spots.
And Billy.
And Billy Eckstein.
Vita, you wrote this book with Carl. What led to him getting his first foothold into the door?
What happened is when he went to California, trying to make it, you know, he had to do a lot of different things, which, of course, you read in the book. He wanted, as he said, to be a pop singer or, you know, Carl is a very good blues singer. If you hear him sing the blues, you know, he'd take your breath away. When he went there, he found out that that type of music was actually going out, you know. So he had to eat, so he had to make a living. So Trumpet Liebenstrahlers, and they told him that he had to go that way. So he went to rock and roll.
Did meeting Johnny Otis come before Liebenstrahler?
Yes, in the Barrel House.
Yeah.
Carl, you were...
Well, not too much to tell about Johnny, except that he was for me. He was running a club. I forgot the name of the club.
Barrel House.
There's one on Western he had before.
Yeah.
And that's the one I was singing at all the time. And I went by to sing one night, and he asked me to sing. And he said, "Wow, man, what kind of voice do you have? Wow." And I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "But I'm looking for pop." But he said, "Well, you can be anything you want with a voice like that." Because I'm in the blues and everything with him. And he just loved it.
By going there, that's how he actually met the Robins, right, Carl?
Yeah, they heard me singing.
They heard him sing there, and they were looking for a lead singer. Because their lead singer, Grady Chapman, was in jail.
Had a song called 10 Days in Jail.
What kind of music were the Robins doing? Were they doing rhythm and blues?
Well, they were doing mostly pop in a roundabout way. Very nice what they were doing. I enjoyed them, but still it was not my way of life.
It's not what you wanted to do, really.
Not what I really wanted to do, but it turned me around to sing more beautiful things in the pop field with them, you know, like in a concert.
So in other words, in concert, you got a chance to shine on some of these, the type
right.
of music that you
right
wanted to
on,
do.
Yeah.
But not in the recordings, basically. In
well, he did record with the Robins.
Maybe not doing exactly the kind of songs that you wanted to do, though.
Not really.
Okay.
Well, in a sense, yes, because he did record some beautiful pop with the Robins.
Oh, he did?
Which, yes, he did record If Teardrops Were Kisses, Just Like a Fool.
He's doing the lead singing on both of those?
Right, and he did a couple of other pop tunes with the Robins. They weren't big hits or anything like that. But on their shows, they sang a lot of pop music. It was jazz pop, I call it.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and I'm talking with Vita Gardner and Carl Gardner. Carl being one of the founding members of the Coasters, and as I said earlier in the show, he named the group the Coasters. We'll get to that in just a moment. I just want to say once again, Vita and Carl, it is such a pleasure to have you doing this show with me, and we're kind of walking down memory lane. We're also going to share some of the musical memories as well. And of course, the glue that's holding this show together is a book called Carl Gardner, Yakety Yak, I Fought Back. Carl's the author with the very able assistance of his wife. And you've been married how long, by the way?
Almost 20 years. 20 years. April gone was 20 years.
That's a long time. I'm bored.
Well, I wanted to see if Carl said something like 19, and you'd say, "Wait a minute, you forgot about a year."
No, he would forget about the years.
You saved him.
I won't forget the years.
The the Robins at that time were signed to Spark Records.
Spark Records were owned by Lester Still and Lebron Stoller. Lester Still was the Coasters' first manager, and he was the manager for Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller also.
Two of the most talented songwriters in the
great
business.
Great, great writers. They are great in every way.
Yeah. They wrote for a lot of people.
They were younger than Carl, actually.
They had a show on Broadway called Smoking Joe's Cafe. I was the lead singer on that record. Right. That was a big hit on Broadway.
That was the next thing I was going to bring up, but you brought it up first. Smoky Joe's Cafe, that song was legendary even before the musical came out.
Right.
Oh, yes.
But once the musical came out, it became super legendary.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Smoky Joe's Cafe. When you think of all of the songs that Lieber and Stoller have written, and they pick that particular song to be the title of the show, that says something.
Oh, that was a big hit. They won a couple of Grammy for it.
Carl, when you recorded Smoky Joe's Cafe, did you ever dream that you were recording a record that would become a classic?
I never dreamed about it in that way, but I thought it was one great song. I enjoyed singing it because it had something in it that I liked very much. Almost like when I was living down south, we had a place called Smoky Joe's Cafe in that area down there while I was living there, out of Texas.
We're going to listen to that song right now. These are the Robins with Carl Gardner singing the lead, Smoky Joe's Cafe.
Oh, I Smoky Joe's Cafe. Oh, I Smoky Joe's Cafe.
One day while I was eating beans
at Smoky Joe's Cafe,
just sitting digging over the
at Smoky Joe's Cafe,
a chick came walking through the door that I had never seen before. At least I never saw her now
at Smoky Joe's Cafe.
And I started shaking when she sat right down next to me. Ooh, her knees were almost touching mine
at Smoky Joe's Cafe.
A tear was running down my spine
at Smoky Joe's Cafe.
Oh, I could smell a sweet perfume. She smiled at me, my heart went boom. Then everybody in the room
at Smoky Joe's Cafe,
they said, man, be careful, that chick belongs to Smoky Joe. From behind the counter, I saw a man. A shelf hat on his head and a knife in his hand. He grabbed me by my collar and began to shout.
You better eat up all your beans and bar and clear right on out.
Yes, I know I'll never eat again
at Smoky Joe's Cafe.
And so we'll never meet again
at Smoky Joe's Cafe.
I'd rather eat my chili beans at Jim's or Jack's or John's or Jean's than take my chances eating out
at Smoky Joe's Cafe.
Ooh, I risk my life when that Smoky Joe's a crazy fool.
That was Carl Gardner singing the lead, Smoky Joe's Cafe. The group was the Robins, and I'm Ronnie Allen. So thrilled to be talking on the phone with Carl Gardner, the lead singer of the Robins on that particular record, and also the eventual lead singer of the Coasters. The Coasters at this point did not exist, but we're going to get to them very, very shortly, and also have on the phone, of course, Vita Gardner. Carl wrote a book called Yakety Yak, I Fought Back. my life with the Coasters. And as we will find out later in the show, Carl has had a lot of reasons to fight back. He's a fighter. Well, let me tell you
something. Yeah, a lot of fights.
A lot of fights. And I am, as I say, so pleased to be talking to both of you. One of the things that strikes me about Smokey Joe's Cafe, and is kind of the hallmark of songs written by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, they wrote musical dramas.
That's right.
What they wrote. And you could say that Yakety Yak was a very different type of song, let's say, from Smokey Joe's Cafe, but both songs have something in common. They tell a story, they paint a musical picture of events, and they do it in a relatively brief period of time. Which one wrote the lyrics? Was it Lieber who wrote the lyrics or Stoller?
Jerry wrote the lyrics and Mike played.
Okay.
Sometimes they work together.
Okay. My point is that Lieber and Stoller songs, they tell stories in a short period of time. They make every word count.
Unfortunately, they had artists who could sing any type of songs that they produced. You know, anything they presented to them, they were so talented that they could do any kind of song that they gave them.
We should point out that they also wrote songs for Elvis Presley. They wrote something called...
They wrote for Elvis, for the Drifters.
The Drifters.
Laverne Baker.
Right.
So many people they wrote for.
Yeah, they wrote Hound Dog. Yeah. Well, they wrote Hound Dog, but they didn't write Hound Dog for Elvis Presley.
No, it was written for Willie Mae Thornton.
Was she known as Big Mama Thornton, too?
Yes, Mama Thornton.
And Elvis eventually got to record that song.
It, right. And he got the hit.
Lieber and Stoller also wrote a song called Is That All There Is?
Correct.
For Peggy Lee.
Peggy Lee.
The Robins made some noise. Smokey Joe's Cafe was the biggest record by the Robins. But as it turned out, at some point around that time that the Robins were starting to make it, was it Lieber and Stoller that came up with the idea of starting a different group?
Yes.
And how did that happen?
Well, I think they wanted to change the old idea of their type of music that they were doing.
Okay.
They wanted a change, and the Robins didn't have that kind of voice. They wanted to go more into the rock and roll era.
The intent was not to dissolve the Robins so much. It was really to have two separate groups. And, of course, Carl left the Robins and became a Coaster, but the Robins continued to perform while the Coasters were performing, too.
Correct. They asked Carl to leave the Robins, and Carl asked Bobby Nunn, who also was with the Robins. So Bobby and Carl left the Robins, and Carl got a friend of his, a guy that used to live on the same street with him, Billy Guy. And Bobby got his friend, who was Leon Hughes. That was the first tour. But then Bobby and Leon was only with the group for a little over a year because they were fired by Lester Sill.
I forgot what the reason was.
Disorderly conduct.
Meanwhile, Lieber and Stoller came up with the idea for a separate group. It turned out that Carl was to become a founding member of that group, and Billy Guy was going to be a member.
Right.
Cornell Gunter was going to be a member. And then the other member was, who did I forget?
Well, Cornell and Will came in 2 years later.
And Will was Will Dub Jones.
Right. They had already had three hits when Cornell and Dub came in.
Okay.
Which was Searching, Youngblood, and Down in Mexico.
Carl, you were the person that named the group. Tell me how you came up with the name The Coasters.
Okay. When I lived in Tyler, Texas, and went to California, he asked me to form this group that I did. Then he asked for a name. I thought of how I liked Tyler, my hometown, and
right.
I always wanted to travel. And I had never traveled before. I'm a little country boy there for a while.
He wanted to go from the east to the west. He thought of the different name.
I thought about most part of the country. So I said, how about the Coasters? And he was noticing, wow, great.
In other words, east coast, west coast, you were thinking in those terms?
Yeah, sort of the Coasters in that manner. This stuck right away.
So anybody that thinks that the group was named after a roller coaster, not right. Not a roller coaster. It was really just the east coast and west coast thing.
Yeah, traveling mostly, thinking that way.
But I think when you envisioned the Coasters, in your own mind, you were thinking that maybe the billing on these records might ultimately be Carl Gardner and the coasters.
Oh, don't you think I didn't think that way?
Yeah.
Oh, I know you thought that way. And you know how I know? Because I read the book. That's how I know.
He read the book, so you know what I said.
Yeah.
What had happened here is he said they had promised him, but they denied that. They said that they didn't promise him to name it that way.
Okay.
So we just saying that, well, he thought they would name it that way. He was hoping that they would have put his name out front, like the Atlanta and the Imperial. He wanted to be Carl Gardner out front. Carl Gardner and the Coasters, and he thought that's how the record would have come out. But when the record came out, he just said the Coasters.
If I had thought in my way and done in my way, I'd have been bigger myself. So I know that Neiman Stone didn't like that idea. If I had gotten famous by myself, you know, as that I named the room and all that other stuff, they would know that I would be going another way, and I would have, you know. But they didn't let me have my name that I wanted.
Your first charted record was not a pop chart record, but it was an R&B record that got to number 8 called Down in Mexico. And Carl, you were the lead singer on this one, right? Down in Mexico?
Yeah.
Let's listen to the very first charted record by the Coasters. This is Down in Mexico.
A cat named Joe. He wears a red bandana, plays a blues piano
in a honky tonk down in Mexico.
He wears a purple sash and a black mustache
in a honky tonk down in Mexico.
Well, the first time that I saw him, he was a sitting on a piano stool. And said, man, be cool. He wears a red bandana, plays a blues piano
in a honky-tonk down in Mexico.
He wears a purple sash and a black mustache
in a honky-tonk down in Mexico. In Mexico.
All of a sudden, in walks a chick
in Mexico.
Just before. So if you saw the border, I mean a down in the Mexico, and you wanna get straight, man, don't hesitate. Just look up a cat named Joe. He wears a red bandana, plays a blues piano
in a honky tonk down in Mexico.
He wears a purple sash and a black mustache
in a honky tonk down in Mexico.
Hey, come with me to the body, south of the body, that is, in Mexico. Yeah, right, Mexico. Yeah, you can get your feet to Mexico. Come with me, baby. Come with me. Come with me, yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
Down in Mexico by the Coasters. And I'm talking to Carl Gardner of the Coasters, along with Vida Gardner, his loving wife of 20 years. And we're talking about the book called Yakety Yak, I Fought Back, My Life with the Coasters. Or actually, Vida, you could call the book My Life with a Coaster. little change, little switch.
Yeah, he was nice.
Right.
If you win me right wrong, man.
Well, Vita and I are working on a song parody, by the way. I don't know if she shared it with you. It goes, take out the sham groups with the trash.
Yeah, we're working on that song together.
We're working on a song for Carl to sing, and it's going to be to fight all of these bogus coasters groups. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on, though. After Down in Mexico, there was a recording called One Kiss Led to Another.
Yep.
And that was actually your first pop-charted record. It got to number 73 on the pop chart, and it got to number 11 on the R&B chart. But the one that really made the Coasters a household name, so to speak, was a double-sided hit. And
right.
The one we're going to play, definitely, is Young Blood, because, Carl, you did the lead singing on Young Blood, correct?
Oh, yes.
As I listened to that record, it has such an unusual sound to it in the background. I saw her standing on the corner, and what are they singing? Are they muttering nonsense lyrics? I saw her standing on the corner, and what are they going in the background? It's weird. It sounds weird. It's a weird sound. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Well,
I saw her standing on the corner.
Look at there.
Look at there.
Young blood. Young blood.
Tell me why.
Young blood. I can't get you out of my mind. I took one look and I was fractured. I tried to walk but I was lame.
What's your name?
Young blood. Young blood. Young blood. I can't get you out of my mind.
What crazy stuff. She looked so tough. I had to follow her all the way home. Then things went bad. I met her dad, he said,
you better leave my daughter alone.
Well, I couldn't sleep a wink for trying. I saw the rising of the sun. And all night long my heart was crying. Why, you're the one.
You're the one.
You're the one.
You're the one.
What a sound. Young Blood. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I'm talking to Carl Gardner, the founder and lead singer of the Coasters, as well as his wife, Vita Gardner. And we're talking about their book called Yakety Yak, I Fought Back. It is a very honest book. You talk about a few things that are kind of taboo in a lot of books. You talk about the segregation issue, and we don't want to, you know, give away too much about
right.
that, but I will simply say that the book does cover certain areas where it was not the easiest thing in the world to be a black performer in
Correct.
Those days, because we're dealing with the late 50s and early 60s. It's really described in very honest detail, the book Yakety Yak, I Fought Back.
Yes.
Interesting thing about Young Blood got to number 8 on the chart.
Yeah.
But amazingly, the flip side of that record, called Searchin',
yeah.
which featured Billy Guy as lead singer
right.
in that one, and that one actually got to number 3 on the chart.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah, it's
yeah.
number 3.
Now, did that come as a surprise to you, Carl, when all of a sudden disc jockeys started playing Searchin' as well as Young Blood?
I was surprised, but I knew that most of them were good records. I knew
Searching, they didn't think Searching was going to be a hit. Because if you listen to Searching good, you hear Billy Guy chuckling. If you listen to it good. They thought it was stupid.
It's a crazy song. They thought it was like, you know, I'm insane.
Gonna find her.
Gonna find her, gonna find her, gonna find her. Eventually, he found her, I guess. Maybe.
I guess so. We
don't know. I personally believe, Vita, that if they had been two separate singles, each of them would have probably gotten a higher chart position. But because of the split play, both of them made number one on the R&B chart.
Right, yeah. Right.
The follow-up record was Idol with the
Golden Head. I never liked that song.
Well, the public wasn't crazy about that song either. It only got to 64, but it was like the coming attraction for a recording that came out in 1958, which was called Yakety Yak.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And wow, that was the record that firmly established the Coasters.
It was a big hit.
It's the number one chart.
Number one pop. Number one rhythm and blues. One of the hallmarks of the Coasters recordings at that time was the sound of a fantastic musician named King Curtis.
Oh, that's man.
That's your man. Curtis.
Love that guy.
Curtis Woosley, O-U-S-L-E-Y was his real name.
Yeah.
He was probably on dozens and dozens of recording sessions during his life. He made a lot of recordings on his own. He had a group called the Kingpins.
Right.
What do most people remember King Curtis for? Those Coasters records.
The Coasters, right.
Yes. Remove the saxophone from Yakety Yak and you have an empty sounding
record. Without Curtis, if you go to a show and play Yakety Yak and don't have a saxophone, they don't like it.
No.
That's mentioned in the book. He did meet an unfortunate end. During his lifetime, he accomplished so much, was one of the most respected musicians in the business.
But it was a senseless killing.
Fortunately, he was around at the right time to be at the right place when the Coasters were recording the songs by the right songwriters. Everything gelled. Everything came together. And this song, Yakety Yak, it's a musical play, so to speak. I think it's like 1 minute and 57 seconds.
Right.
And this is a classic.
It is, yeah, and it relates to so many things, you know, with the kids today.
Carl, you and Billy were singing together on Yakety Yak, right?
Yeah, we were both leading the same song.
Let's listen to it right now. Yakety Yak, the Coasters.
Take out the papers and the trash, or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't serve that kitchen serve, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yakety Yak!
Don't talk back.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that dust car with that broom. Get all that garbage out of sight, or you don't go out Friday night. Yakety Yak!
Don't talk back.
You just put on your coat and hat and walk yourself to the laundromat. And when you finish doing that, bring in the dog and put out the cat. Yakety Yak!
Don't talk back.
Yakety Yak, the Coasters, of course, the book by Carl Gardner with the able assistance of Vita. Yakety Yak, I Fought Back. Instead of Don't Talk Back, it's I Fought Back.
Didn't he fight back?
I Fought Back does not just relate to one thing. It relates to a few things we're going to discuss.
Correct.
Moving right along to the next recording, Charlie Brown. This was not the same Charlie Brown that was in the Peanuts cartoon.
The Peanuts.
No, it's a different Charlie Brown.
This was a bad guy in school.
Bad guy in school. Back in those days, if there's a bad guy in school, you called him Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Now, that had to be, of course, hurtful to any of the good Charlie Browns, right? There must have been some school kids whose name happened to be Charlie Brown who were good.
Several. There were several.
Never got into trouble. Never were in the principal's office. Never threw spitballs.
Never threw spitballs.
But actually, on this particular record, everybody chuckled. That's what this is all about.
That's Charlie Brown.
Fee, fee, ba, ba, full, full, fun. I smell smoke in the auditorium. Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown, he's a clown. That's Charlie Brown.
Why's everybody always picking on me?
That's him on his knee. I know that's him. Getting 7-11 down in the boys' gym. Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown, he's a clown. That Charlie Brown, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see.
Why's everybody always picking on me?
Who's always writing on the wall?
Everybody always picking on me.
Charlie Brown.
always picking on me.
Fee, fee, fi, fi, fo, fo, fum. I smell smoke in the auditorium. Well, you better leave. You just don't sing about it. Just get out. Stop singing. Get out. You smell smoke? Get out of there.
And those are the real coasters.
What's just, okay, well, anyway, Charlie Brown, such a funny song. Lieber and Stoller wrote that song.
These guys were just fantastic.
Well, they wrote Charlie Brown and Yakety Yak exclusively for the coasters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every song that they wrote, really, they wrote it around the coasters.
The exceptions are the ones that they obviously wrote for other people.
Right. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's 43, something like that, exclusive for the coasters. Some of them were never released.
One of the things that people enjoyed about the coasters was watching the live performances.
Live performances.
And I would assume that a lot of rehearsal went into those live performances. Am I correct?
They did a lot of skits.
But I mean, did they rehearse them carefully, or were they...
No.
No?
Never rehearsed. Carl said that what they would do in the dressing room, they would say, you do this part, you do this part, and you do this part, and they would go out and do it.
We were on with Ray Charles and Paulo, and when we go on, Ray would come on last, you know.
Okay.
We were next to Ray before Ray came on.
Yeah, he closed the show.
Yeah. But when we were that close with him, and then I'm part of the show... He couldn't get on because people were laughing during them 15 minutes.
Wow.
That's how great it was.
Without any rehearsal, and that's amazing.
That was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it when he told me that.
Not one rehearsal.
Carl, I am amazed.
A lot of talent was in this group.
I don't think there'll be another set of coasters like those.
I wish someone in that era had the gut to record this. Because that was something that...
Well, videotaped it. They recorded it, but nobody videotaped it.
Yeah, it should have been videotaped.
One of the great tragedies is that so much rock and roll history was never recorded.
I know.
And is
You're
never,
right about that one.
And it has never...
And it's a shame. Yeah,
I know. It has never been documented. Some of the great shows, like some of the great Alan Freed shows and Murray the K shows, Clay Cole shows, were never recorded.
Never.
They were all so funny. When they were on TV, I wish I could get that TV from, you know, what was that show name?
Shindig.
You were Shindig?
Yeah.
That's we were on Shindig.
Well, I have one with Shindig.
Where'd you get it from?
Somebody sent it to me.
Oh, so the coasters were on Shindig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What song did the coasters...
Along Came Jones.
Oh, Along Came Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's...
I have it on video.
We want to mention one other recording. I remember when Poison Ivy became a hit record, and whenever I heard that record, I felt like scratching.
You didn't go get no calamine lotion, did
no,
you?
No, since there was no calamine lotion around, that became a problem. But these records, Yakety Yak, Charlie Brown, Along Came Jones, and Poison Ivy, it was Carl and Billy doing the lead singing on all of those records.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if the coasters just continued right along and had a lot of top 10 hits like that, and the hits kept coming and coming and coming. And there were a few more hits, to be sure, but...
I think the coasters came just too early.
Maybe.
Yeah, but if it was today, God, they would be million years.
Some membership changes are described in the book.
Right.
Of the four that we mentioned, Billy and Carl, we know Carl is still...
Who was the first to have left?
Who was the first to have left?
Cornell.
Cornell left the group.
Right.
Cornell was kind
Cornell
of...
Cornell was there from 1958 to 61.
Okay, and Cornell was kind of...
Very flamboyant.
Very flamboyant.
Well, he's very flamboyant.
I think he might have still been with the group when he recorded a song called Little Egypt.
Which yes.
Little Egypt was the last top 40 hit by the Coasters. I have to mention one before Little Egypt that I really like, Wait a Minute. And Wait a Minute has an interesting distinction. Of all the Coasters' big hit records, that was the only one that was not written by Lieber and Stoller. It was...
Bobby Darin. Yes, Bobby Darin wrote that.
And he happened to be a label mate of the Coasters. He was on Atco Records as well.
He wanted to do a lot of writing for the Coasters, you know.
Mother Nair?
Yeah.
But
Wait a Minute.
That's about all.
That's the only one I think did.
Yeah. Just a personal note, the ones I like that did not become huge hits, but I always kind of like, Run Red Run was an interesting record. The flip side of Run Red Run was What About Us?
What About Us? Is that a funny song?
I love it, and what I always remember about that song is
when I was on a date.
When we go out on dates, we go on a box on roller skates.
A roller skate.
Now, that is just such inspired writing.
They have so many songs, Ron.
You also did Besame Mucho, Wake Me, Shake Me.
Good, we did
that song. There's a one with a horse race.
Oh, that was...
Stewball.
Oh, Stewball, yes.
Oh, I love that song. Okay.
There is no group that is the same as the original Coasters that had these records. There was a unique sound about the Coasters, and it has never been duplicated, and I don't think it ever will be duplicated.
They imitated, but never duplicated.
And that's how I feel. And, of course, a lot of things happened in the music business that kind of detrimental, I think we'd have to say, to the Coasters' career. And one of those things which was detrimental to many American acts was the British invasion. This was the downside of the British invasion, that once all those British acts became popular, there was less play on the radio for American acts. And I guess one of the acts that was hurt by that was the Coasters. Is that accurate to say, Vita?
Yeah, you're right. The foreign artists get much more play. Unless you were with Motown. We live here in Port St. Lucie, and we have our station here. We never hear them play the Coasters song. We only hear them play the Motown songs all the time. And when I say, well, how come you don't play the Coasters songs? But they never could give me an answer. Now I hear they're back again. But still, everything that they do now is from like 65 up.
I know. It's starting to be 70 up now. It's like the 60s are disappearing.
I just want to say thanks to a lot of the disc jockeys, because without them, the Coasters couldn't make all the hits they made.
Well,
because the disc jockey were spinning their records,
yeah,
they played a very important role in helping the Coasters to get all those hits.
Absolutely.
And the fans out there also buying their records.
And I'm trying to play a role in keeping the music alive as well.
Ron, we thank you very, very much.
In 1987, the Coasters received an honor.
They were the first vocal group inducted.
The first vocal group inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
In Cleveland.
In Cleveland, yes.
That was a great, great honor.
Who made the acceptance speech?
Actually, Carl was supposed to do the acceptance. Carl wrote the acceptance speech. And Cornell Gunter, with his flamboyancy, actually pushed Carl away. And all he said, oh, thank you, thank you. I just want to say thank you, thank you. So we didn't really say more than that.
Carl, you didn't get to say a word in edgewise.
Never. Cornell got to be the show.
You said in the book that there was some evidence that Cornell Gunter, at times, wanted to take over the group. And this was another example of that, I guess.
Yeah, he wanted, and he was upset because he couldn't lead.
Oh, wow.
But he didn't have the kind of voice as a lead for the Coasters.
Tremendous honor, though, being in the Rock and Roll Hall
that
of
is
Fame.
And Carl was recently honored here in Port St. Louis, the Lifetime Achievement Award by the St. Louis Cultural Arts, May 20th of this year. He also is in the Vocal Group Hall of Fame.
Well-deserved honors. Carl Gardner is talking to me right now, along with Vita. Unfortunately, the other three members are all deceased. Cornell Gunter was, I believe...
Cornell was murdered in Vegas 1990. They still never find the killer. And Dub had cancer.
Dub, the bass singer.
Dub is the bass singer. He had died, I think, a year before Billy. And Billy was found dead from a massive heart attack.
So Carl is the only surviving member.
Right.
Carl, in 1993, you were diagnosed with throat cancer.
Yeah.
Carl, the fact that you survived and you're here 14 years after that hopefully will inspire around the world who are listening to this.
A lot of prayer was in it.
Right.
I think your faith helped carry you through.
A lot of prayer.
You also had one other health setback, Carl, and that is in 2004 you suffered a mild stroke. And again, you were tested and you got through. You're still here.
Yeah, he still drives. He just don't sing anymore.
Yakety Yak, I Fought Back. Part of the title, I Fought Back, relates to the fact that, sadly, there are a lot of bogus Coasters groups out there.
Oh, God, listen.
And
We spend so much money fighting over the years.
A lot of people may not realize it. They may think, well, the worst thing about a bogus group is that fans are thinking that they're seeing the real group and they're not. And some people say, oh, what's the big deal? So this group that we're seeing is doing the hits. They're probably not doing them very well. But it goes much further than that. Every time there's a bogus group out there working as the Coasters,
the real coasters
are not working. It's one less gig for the real Coasters, who are not getting money that they are rightfully entitled to. And not only that, but the reputation of the real Coasters suffers, because there are so many people who might not even be aware. A lot of times when these bogus groups perform,
and they sound terrible.
They sound terrible, and there's no indication in the programs that these are bogus groups.
Right.
They don't say, attention, caveat, warning. this is a warning. They just present these groups as they're the real thing. Fortunately, there are some laws that are being passed in various states to prevent...
18 states.
To prevent phony groups from performing, and we want people to know that there is a real group of Coasters out there, legitimate group of Coasters, with Carl Gardner Jr., who has the authority, the legality, and everything to be using the name The Coasters.
And we have Ronnie Bright. I don't know if
Ronnie Bright. Ronnie Bright was the lead.
Ronnie Bright, the bass man. He was the bass guy on La Fortia number 9.
And he was also the bass guy on Johnny Cymbal's record, Mr. Bassman.
Right, he was on Johnny Cymbal's record, Mr. Bassman.
Yeah.
And Curly Palmer, who is our musical director, has been with the group since 1962.
When you come to see The Coasters, if you don't have Carl Gardner Jr. in the group, go home. There's no other Coasters.
Head for the exits and demand your money back.
That's right.
If people want to book The Coasters, how do they do it? Do they do it through your website?
They can contact me. Go to my website, thecoasters.com, and they can find my number there.
www.thecoasters.com?
Yeah.
Okay, they need the word the, right?
Right.
Okay.
It has to have the coast.
If you leave out the word the, you may get roller coasters.
Right. And I just wanted to tell everybody out there, if you want to get the book, it's a lot of information about the Coasters and the life of Carl Gardner, the real life of Carl Gardner, the true life. It's a very honest story. Things may be that you never know about Carl Gardner. And I tell you, if you read it, you'll really get to know him better. And the book title is Yakety Yak, I Fought Back. You can get it at Barnes & Noble or Borders, or you can go on Amazon.com, or you can go to AuthorHouse.com and type in Yakety Yak, I Fought Back. They will send it to you if you order it. And I think there are no postage to charge it for.
Are you selling it on your website?
Yes. Go www.angelfire, which is my other website.
Right.
Angelfire.com/Emma's and Mary, N as in Nancy, /Coasters. Let me repeat that again. www.angelfire.com/Emma's and Mary, N as in Nancy, /Coasters. And it was said, those hoodlum friends. That website will give you at least 24 pages of Coasters information by Claus Ronis.
Claus Ronis has got a timeline in your book.
Right. He did the timeline.
And the timeline in the book.
That guy did a great job for me.
There's a timeline starting with the 50s, the 60s, the 70s.
And the Coasters singles tell you from everything, right?
Yeah.
Down.
It is Clay Cole, the legendary TV personality and movie star who was responsible for me getting in touch with you to do this interview.
Yes, you know, he actually emailed me too and told me that he was going to have you call me, you know. I was expecting the call.
Ah, no wonder you sounded like you were.
Just something else. I never knew him before.
Really?
And when I told Carl that, you know, I got an email from him, he says, oh, yes, he was good. He was good. And he said, could you pull up his picture and let me see what he looks like? Again, I forgot what he looked like. So I pulled it up and showed him, said, yeah, I remember him very well. And he has been, you know, giving me, every day I get a little email from him telling me something new. He just updates me with things that's happening, and I think that's great.
The Coasters appeared on Clay's show a few times, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Actually, one of the emails that he sent me, something way back, I think it was in the 60s, that he did a show, a Christmas show, with so many artists, and the Coasters was part of that show.
To visit Clay Cole's wonderful website, photos, incredible information.
And a lot of memories.
Memories, and it changes every single day.
Every day.
www.claycoleshow.com. That's right, www.claycoleshow.com.
It's a beautiful website. Everybody should visit that website.
Carl and Vita, this has been such an honor to be talking to both of you and sharing the memories about the legendary group, the Coasters.
Thank you for calling too, Ron.
It was very informal and very nice.
We are going to close the show right now with Little Egypt, with Carl Gardner opening up that record. And Billy is doing the lead singing, but you're the ringmaster.
Circus master.
Whatever. Can you still do that, Carl? Step right up, folks.
Want me to do it now?
Yeah. Live for all of you listening throughout the world. Drum roll. Here's Carl. All yours.
Step right up, folks. And see Little Egypt do a famous dance on the pyramid. She walks. She talks. She crawls her belly like a reptile. There's one thin dime, one tenth of a dollar. Somebody up, folks.
I went and bought myself a ticket and I sat down in the very first row. They pulled the curtain up and when they turned the spotlight way down low, Little Egypt came out strutting wearing nothing. And a diamond big as Texas on a toe. She laid her hair down and she did the hoochie coochie real slow. When she did a special number on a zebra skin, I thought she'd stop the show.
The ground. She winked at the audience and then she turned around. She had a picture of a cowboy tattooed on her spine saying Phoenix, Arizona, 1949.
Yeah, but let me tell you people, Little Egypt doesn't dance there anymore. She's too busy mopping and taking care of shopping at the store. Cause we've got 7 kids and all day long they crawl around the floor.
That's the show. And now a couple of bonus tracks by the Coasters. Leading off with Poison Ivy.
She comes on like a rose, but everybody knows she'll get you in Dutch. You can look, but you better not touch.
Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy comes a-creepin' around. She's pretty as a daisy, but look how mad she's crazy.
she'll really do you in if you let her get under your skin.
Poison ivy.
Comes a creeping around.
Measles will make you bumpy, and mumps will make you lumpy, and chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. A common cold will fool you, and whooping cough and cool you.
But poison ivy, Lord, will make you itch.
You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound.
The minute you start to mess around.
Poison ivy, poison ivy.
Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes a-creeping around.
Measles will make you bumpy, and mumps will make you lumpy, and chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. A common cold will fool you, and whooping cough and coo you.
Poison ivy, Lord, will make you itch.
You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound
the minute you start to mess around.
Poison ivy, poison ivy.
Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes to creeping around.
And finally, here's Carl Gardner. This is the kind of song that he wanted to sing all along, but most of the time didn't get a chance to do. From a Coasters album called One by One, this is Satin Doll.
Cigarette holder, which wigs me over her shoulder. She digs me out chatting, that satin doll. Baby, shall we go out dipping? Careful, amigo, you're flipping. She speaks Latin, that satin doll. Nobody's fool, so I'm playing it cool as can be. I'll give it a whirl, but I ain't for no girl kissing me. Switcheroonie, telephone numbers. Well, you know, doing my rumbas with Uno, and that is my satin doll. Can be. Oh, I'll give it a whirl, but I ain't for no girl kissing me. A switcheroonie, telephone numbers. Well, you know, doing my rumbas with a